Here we go. We're supposed to have a little banter. I feel like we could make some of that the banter.
What, my microphone?
Any of it,
like
all of it,
the
weather,
every time.
Our throats, our voices, why I sound like a frog. It is who I am. Okay, friends, but enough about that. Friends, let's shout
some. You're not a frog.
Start again. Thank you.
Okay.
I have a sultry, my voice.
You have a beautiful, sexy Heather voice.
Okay, perfect for a family podcast. Okay. That is enough of that. Let's shout some words and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, it is just Micah and me, and you'll find out soon. There is another familiar face in the Down syndrome community who's going to be joining us. We miss Mercedes when she's not with us today, but we can't wait to chat, and we're grateful you're here with us. Welcome to the Lucky Few Podcast. Okay, friends, family, fellow listeners, we have been so excited this year to be working with Gap Kids for their back to school campaign with the theme of Everyone Belongs, based off my new children's book, Everyone Belongs. And we are going to be celebrating huge the back to school season in Los Angeles, California at The Grove. This is happening like tomorrow, September 7th, starting at 4 p.m. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, mark your calendars. Grab your family, pick your kid up from school, take them out for a fun outing, and meet us at The Grove in Los Angeles, California at 4 o'clock at Gap Kids. We're going to be celebrating back to school season with me doing a book reading, a live book reading of Everyone Belongs. Also Brody Schaefer from Boss Baby Brody. If you're not familiar with him, he is a real treasure. He's going to be there dancing. We're just going to be doing what we do best. We're going to have fun. We're going to be reading books. We're going to have a dance party. There's going to be crafts. You can customize some Gap gear, some really fun stuff. There's going to be food, and the whole event is free to attend. So we hope to see you there September 7th, Wednesday at 4 o'clock at The Grove in Los Angeles. Gap Kids, celebrate back to school with us. Celebrate belonging. Come show off all your skills and talents. We can't wait to see you. Okay. We are in, it's almost September. When this comes out in September. Happy September, everybody.
September.
We made it in California. You made it to, I think most places in the world, it's like, it's fall. And we're like, we made it to our 10th month of summer. It's fine. How are you, Miss Micah?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm good. I'm so glad to be sitting here with you today.
You just had a birthday.
I did.
Happy birthday.
I turned 43.
Yeah, girl. Little spring chicken. You look like
That's
you're
right.
23.
Oh, thanks, honey.
You do.
It's the highlighting stuff. I don't have anything on my face, actually.
I was going to say, tell us your secrets.
Today's secret is brush your teeth.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Uh-huh. I like that one.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I just got back from Lucky Mama's retreat in Southern California. First time we went to this location, everybody, at the Oaks. Yeah. We were just testing
were
it out.
San Diego, right? Ish?
It's like 45 minutes outside of San Diego in Ramona. If you're taking a Lyft or an Uber, everyone thinks you're lost. I mean, it was like dirt. It wasn't really dirt roads, but it was far, felt far and exciting. But it's a retreat center called the Oaks, and it was spectacular. I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the hospitality was lovely, and then the food was amazing. They have like a farm to table chef that does all the meals, and the grounds were gorgeous. The rooms were gorgeous. It was like way exceeded my expectations in terms of facilities. And we're going to plan another one. So everybody come. Hopefully in February. Everyone just save the whole month of February until we give you more dates.
Okay, sounds good.
The tricky thing with February is flights for the East Coasters, and for the winter spaces, it might be snowy. But that's not my problem. So I'm going to not have to be in charge of that. Anyways, it was so good. There were 28 of us. And it's just always so unbelievably magical. So you have never been to one. You've been to a reunion, but it wasn't the same situation. And our guest here today hasn't been to one, although I'm working hard to get her to one too. So it'll happen. It'll happen.
I need to do that. My friend, my Jersey friend, Rachel came though.
Rachel.
And she was so excited for it.
She's been to the Austin one too. So yeah. She's the best. For the listeners who are like, what the heck are you talking about? Liz Plakta, who is the person who started and runs Ruby's Rainbow, which is a nonprofit that raises funds for people with Down syndrome to do secondary education. She and I, in 2017, started a retreat for moms of kids with Down syndrome in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is right outside of Austin, at a retreat center. And it's, we purposely keep it small. So it's like 26 people can come. And it's been amazing. And we've done one every year except for 2020. And we've had a couple in California, but we're trying to now branch out into California more and make the California one a little bit bigger. And it'll be a little bit of a different feel. So anybody can come year after year after year. And that's called the Lucky Moms Retreat. So we want every single listener who is a mother with the child with Down syndrome to be there.
Beautiful. Heather, tell us what was your favorite moment of the retreat this year?
That's always a tricky one because my favorite thing about it is just everyone being there. Like, I think maybe my favorite moment would be at the very end where it's only been 2 days and I now know everybody's name and I have a connection to almost everybody. In 2 days, it's hard to connect to 28 people deeply, but I've connected in some way and that feels really special. It feels like an honor to get to do that. And everyone comes with such different experiences and even different feelings about Down syndrome. You know, like there's some moms who are real honest and transparent. Like, I never wanted to be in a room like this. And maybe it's still not my favorite that this is the retreat I'm coming to. Like, they're still working, figuring that their place out in the space. And it feels real special that people just open up and that you're allowed to be there like that, right? Like, everyone's on their journey. And everybody can be here and no one feels judged for where they're at in their journey. So that feels special. And then they did a yoga under the stars, like the Oaks facility hosted it. And it was unreal.
That's amazing.
It started right at sunset and then it ended under the stars. And it was pretty, pretty spectacular. So that was stands out to me as well. Thanks for asking.
Okay. I want to go.
You will.
Okay.
Name it and claim it.
Name it, claim it. And before we name anything else, I want to read another one of our listeners' sweet reviews. So this is from S&P 2009. And they say, "Thank you for teaching me that showing up with my daughter is enough. I have learned to love her more through your podcast and have appreciated your real selves that show up each week to share your experience with us. Thank you." Well,
love that.
That's just wonderful. And man, I mean, is there any better feedback we could get than that we're helping people feel like they can just show up?
And that's yes, enough. I know. That's kind of what we're just saying at this retreat. Do you think S&P stands for salt and pepper and one of them has a child with Down syndrome that we don't know about?
It is actually salt and pepper who just wrote this review to us.
Isn't that amazing? They've been watching me do their karaoke. Sheep is my karaoke song. Okay. Which I also sang at the retreat this last weekend. Sorry.
All right. To our listeners, don't forget to review the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts so we can read it aloud next week. And we love reading these and we always appreciate your support.
Okay, friends, dun-dun-dun-dun. Everyone's been wondering who is the magical lady with us today. So, friends, I'm so excited to have our special guest here today, the one and only Misty Coy Snyder. She is a mom to the sweetest little guy with Down syndrome, Jed, who I got to hang out with this summer. We became fast friends. Well, Misty and I have been friends we became fast friends over the internet, but Jed and I are best friends now too. And she is the creator of the very popular Instagram account, Happiness is Down Syndrome, which is maybe some of our listeners are like, yes, I know that. I know her because it is so helpful. And it's, I feel like it's wildly successful too. She definitely knows a thing or two about advocating on social media. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to learn all about Misty and social media advocacy and Happiness is Down Syndrome. Misty, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Wait, Misty, okay, I know this about you, but Micah doesn't, and I don't think many of our listeners do. You're a theater gal, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Do you want to do a little improv?
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Look at that.
I know the deal here, guys. I've been listening.
Now we're going to sing talk the whole episode. And that one lady who left me a message about how much she hates I sing talking just signed off. I'm just kidding. Someone did say it once to me on Instagram.
Can't win them all, right?
Can't win them all. Yeah. She's like, I hate when you sing talk. I'm like, thank you for the feedback. I don't know what to do with this information. Anyways, Misty, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been so excited about this.
Thank you. I was in New Jersey, which is where you live, this summer for our This Is Down Syndrome tour, and you were our host in New Jersey. So we got to spend a weekend together, and that's how I got to be with your son, Jed, and got to meet your whole family and all the different families that you brought together. It was such a magical weekend. And then we were supposed to record a podcast together then, and I just couldn't get my act together / I was at max capacity. So I said, let's do it later. But I also am glad because Micah gets to be here with us too. And she's like your neighbor-ish.
Really, you're my neighbor. Yes. Yeah. And in fact, you know, I've told you this, Micah, but she saved me because I didn't know my son was going to need glasses. And we were at the same eye doctor at the same time. And we'd just come out of the appointment. And she said, tomato glasses, they're great. And she gave me all the reasons why they were so great. And I didn't know what she was talking about. I was like, tomato glasses? I don't know what you're talking about. But I said it to the lady and they're the best glasses. They're so good for him. And they're like, I'm like constantly plugging them because they were just a win right away. Thank you.
You got it. I'm here for you, Misty. And that was such a delight because we hadn't gotten a chance to connect. And I had just moved to Jersey and there we were at the eye doctor, which I just met last time I was at the eye doctor last week. I met another person that I know online in the Down syndrome community at the same eye doctor. So it's the gathering place for Northern Jersey.
Apparently.
So, yeah.
Of everywhere we went on our trip, if we had to move somewhere, it would be to your guys' neck of the woods. I feel like there was so much good stuff. It just feels like you have a lot of supports in place and a pretty strong community and cool stuff happening. What do you guys call it? It's not like little neighborhoods or cities. What do you call them? Like each, maybe it is a little city. There's all the different little cities that are all neighboring each other that each has its own like cute little feel, like South Orange and Morristown. And what do you call those? Do you call them cities?
Towns.
Just towns. Okay.
Towns.
All the cool little towns. That's all close to each other. I just feel like there's so much to do. Anyways, and the vibe is good and it feels diverse and I loved it.
Close to the beach.
Yes.
Good hiking, good outdoors, good food.
New York City is 1 hour away. You're like in New York City. So cool.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I was just going to say people need to like work. We've been kind of trying to keep it secret how great Jersey is.
Oh shoot.
Yeah. So everybody thinks it's a dump. So we'll just keep it that way because we're living the dream out here.
That's right.
100% my perception as a Southern California girl. I totally thought Jersey. I only had Jersey Shore as a point of reference, the show, right? Yeah. And then you come and everything's lush and green and it's a garden state. It's beautiful.
The garden state. Okay, and the actual Jersey Shore is spectacular. It is. Okay. So friends, New Jersey's the worst. Don't go there. Don't. But I don't know how we wrap that one up. Misty, tell us Okay, tell our listeners about you. Give us a little, this is who Misty is, please.
Yeah, sure. I was born on a dark and cold night. No, I'm an only child. I was raised by a single mom, and I grew up on the West Coast, and I come from a musical acting family. And so I got real into that really, really quickly in life. Lots of singing. In fact, I did a radio show with my mom when I was 10. It was called Heart Talk for Kids. And we did like little devos for kids in Seattle. And we would sing in churches and sing around at parties and things like that. And I went to a performing arts high school. I got my degree in acting, and I moved to New York from LA, you know, with the hopes of Broadway and performing. And I did for a while, tours and cruise ships and you name it, I've done it. And I definitely, just didn't expect this turn in my life, but I can see now in hindsight how all of the pieces of my life sort of were preparing me for where I am today. So.
Oh, okay. Can you go a little deeper with that? I want to hear more about that.
Yes. I mean, I had the dreams of, so I'm a communicator. So I love to communicate and connect with people. And that's my jam. And I think most actors, that's what they want. They want, let's talk about life. Let's talk about what makes us human. Let's talk about, you know, we're all different, but we're not. Like, what connects us as human beings? And that's what acting is all about at its core. Mm-hmm. And I spent my life studying people and learning about people and differences and the beauty in difference and going past the surface and looking for what's beneath it. And so I just think about that a lot. And I think about, I did a thesis once on how I think people find solace in theater. The actors and performers and people in the theater tend to find a sort of almost religious experience or spiritual connection to it, because you're saying, what is this life for? What's it all for? And I did a thesis on that. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, I just feel like all those years were laying the groundwork for the things I explore today within the Down syndrome community and the disability community at large, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Okay, tell us about Jed, and tell us about, if you want, even like when you found out he had Down syndrome and what that was like for you.
Yes. So being an only child, I really, really wanted to have a second child, but there was trouble there. We'd had a miscarriage, and there was a definite point where I thought, you know, maybe we're just supposed to have one child. I already feel overwhelmed with life, and maybe we're done. But we got pregnant again, and I was so excited. And we had done no testing for my first child. I'm the type of person who doesn't want to know. I'd rather just roll with it when it happens. And so we didn't do any testing for my first son, but I really wanted to know if my second child was a boy or a girl. And so we did the NIPT test to find out the gender, and it took a really long time to get the results. And I thought that was kind of strange. But I came home one day and I was resting. I had actually just done I was leading a singing thing that morning, and I was super tired and pregnant and first trimester. And I was taking a nap, and I just so happened to look over, my ringer was off, and I saw OB. And I thought, I'm going to learn the gender. So I hopped on the call, and I was so excited. And yes, hello, I've been waiting for your call. And just instantly, I felt this coldness, just this, you know, when somebody is dreading saying something to you, you know, you can feel that. And that I felt it immediately. And she was kind of like, you know, I want to make it clear that I'm not criticizing this person. I think it's very difficult to give this news, which we can talk about further, but I could just tell she was very nervous, and she was kind of fumbling over her words. And And she said, this is okay. And this is okay. But you are high risk for trisomy 21. And it just, the best way to describe it is I felt like I was underwater and I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't process anything. I just said, what? You mean like Down syndrome? And she said, yes. And I said, well, what does that mean? What does high risk mean? What does that mean? And she said, you have a 9 of 10 chance that your child will have Down syndrome. And I believe she said your fetus will have Down syndrome. And I, you know, just kind of, I couldn't hear anything else she said. And luckily my husband was downstairs and I sort of almost fell down the stairs going to him and dropped the phone, you know, pile of tears, couldn't breathe, wanted to run. I mean, all the devastation for me happened in that moment. The devastation of a diagnosis happened right then. And I thought, I don't want to go on. I don't want to do this. I don't want to, I wanted to run away from being Misty. And I was just in a tizzy. And my husband in that moment was the sounding board. And he said, this is our child and we will love our child. And he just simplified it. And it was like all the went. And I said, okay. And that was it. And I never forget that day and that weekend, because that is what drives me to do what I do, because I thought my life was over.
Hmm. Wow. So let's go from there to talk about you doing what you do. What's the rest of the story as you started to make terms with this diagnosis? When did you become an advocate?
Oh gosh. Well, I had a weekend of nothing. I couldn't do anything. And then I went to a genetic counselor who kind of changed the game for me and told me about the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network and told me that there were people that I could connect with who not just had children with Down syndrome, because I didn't really want to talk to them. I wanted to talk to people who were right in the moment that I was in. And she said, there are chat rooms, I believe, where you can be with other pregnant women. So I went in that chat and I connected with other women who were pregnant. And I connected with people who were ahead of me in the game, but not too much, just like just had their baby or whatever. And it was a game changer for me, being able to sort of be honest and start writing about what I was feeling and start really seeing colors that I couldn't see before. Like, it's hard to explain, but my eyes were sort of open to how narrow I'd been before, that Down syndrome is, whether I wanted to admit it or not, and I never would have, but I thought Down syndrome is bad. Nobody wants Down syndrome bad. And that was my brain. And all of a sudden it was like my brain just like expanded. That's the only way I can explain it. Like, no, Misty, there's colors here. There's nuance here. And as I started to talk to these women, I started to see nuance, color, change, difference. And it just started my heart and my brain expanding. And then when Jed came, and I felt more joy than I could ever explain, like looking at him. This is a baby. This is a life. This is joy. He's joy. What was I so afraid of? Like, I couldn't even connect with that person on the stairs sobbing. I just saw him and I saw joy. And as he grew in the first months of his life, which were not easy months of, you know, you guys know, it's like the early intervention and learning the world. Those are not easy months. And even with those hardships or those transitions or learning curves, I was desperately in love with him and just couldn't get enough of him. And so I would say the advocating started when I was like, my brain and my heart lied to me, you know, this is amazing. Wow. And you don't say that to sugarcoat it. You know, it blew my mind how amazing he was.
Yeah. Wow. My brain and my heart lied to me. Mm. That's really powerful. Do you feel like, it sounds like you went through all that process while you were pregnant. And so when he was actually born, you had already made that shift. Yeah.
I had, and I had a few really dark moments when he was in the NICU, because he was there for 7 days, and that that's like a whole nother thing. But I feel like I was like, oh, this is hard. This is going to be hard. That was like another shift of like, this life will have hardship, but what life doesn't? And so I feel like I was sort of like, I don't know. I had to go through another sort of uphill climb in that week. But when he was here, I mean, it was like, I heard music. I don't know what other way to say it.
And how old is Jed now?
He just turned 2 August 1st.
Amazing.
He's like the bee's knees.
It's pretty spectacular.
It is amazing, Misty, how you, like, before the baby, I felt this with Ace, like before the baby comes into the world, it's really easy to lose that baby in the diagnosis. And then when Ace was born, I was like, oh, like, I know you. You're like, I've known you this whole time. I just got a little lost there in the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. I missed you for it.
That's so true.
That's so good. I have this question for both of you, because I was never pregnant with my child and I have a different story. But I have new moms reach out to me a lot who are like kind of where you were, Misty, that day on the stairs shortly after that, like, tell me, I just got a diagnosis. What would you say to me? And it feels, I feel really cautious and understand how tender that is because of my personal experience, but also I'm on the other side of it. Like you're talking about a little bit, Misty, it's hard to remember who that person was. Cause I had moments of like, I will not have a child with Down syndrome. This is not what is going to happen in my life. Down syndrome equals bad. I had those thoughts too in my own journey, but I can't remember that person very well. And so what is the thing that I in my infertility, the amount of people that came to me with like advice or their opinions, it every time was only infuriating. It was very rare that someone came to me with like, but it's going to be okay. And I thought, oh, thank you for saying that. It was like, no, I'm mad and hurt and angry. And I don't want to hear that. Can you think back to like both of you, when you had the days of being lost in the diagnosis or that like moment on the stairs with you, Misty, or at the bottom of the stairs, is there something that someone could have said to you at the time that was helpful? And what do you say to new moms who are with a new diagnosis?
I get probably weekly messages from moms in this position. And it's just like what you said, Heather, it's that sensitivity to, I don't want to be like, congratulations, right? Because that's how I feel. But I, at the same time, I want to make clear how you feel right now is not forever. Mm. How you feel in this moment is fine and good and say it and be in it. It's okay. It's okay. I think we all need permission to feel the way that we feel. It's okay to be like, I did not expect this. I'm off my game. I'm scared. Say those things. Say them. Say them to me if you can't say them to anyone else. But just know that you won't stay there. Like it's you're on a journey, and every day of the journey feels different to me. It really does. And so I usually say, I've walked where you walk. I remember those thoughts, and I want to hug you. So virtual hug, but just know that the way that you feel right now will not be forever. And you have a whole ton of people who have walked this road, who want to hold your hand. And I promise you, the joy that you will find will far surpass what you're feeling right now. I can promise that. I feel bold saying that, but I can promise that. It might happen on the last day of your life where you're like, it was worth it. but it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so powerful, Misty, that just the fact that you are not, you're allowing the people who reach out to you to sit in their grief, which is what we need to do when we are grieving, because to push past it in a way that's not healthy doesn't serve us or our baby we're going to have. And, you know, I think about when I had my diagnosis, the first person I called after my husband was my friend, Amy Julia, who has, her daughter is now 17, or maybe 16, and she has Down syndrome. And that was the exact kind of thing that Amy Julia did for me that day. It was just like, it's so hard to receive this news. It's so hard to have your plans upended. And, you know, that same week, she sent in the mail to me a letter from her daughter, Penny, who was, I guess she was like 7 or 6. And it was just like, "Dear Micah, I heard that your baby's going to have Down syndrome. I have Down syndrome." And then she just listed like, "I like to do cartwheels and I love ballet and blah, blah, blah. And my friends are so and so and so and so." And it was just this beautiful, like hopeful. There was no judgment from Amy Julia. There was no like, "Someday you'll come around and see mm-hmm. the world," you know, but it was just like, "Look what you have to look forward to." This is, and I will always save that letter from Penny.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
That's good. So good, mamas. I'll tell people a similar, like, just feel what you need to feel. It's so important, right? And don't feel shame about that. Just you need to feel what you need to feel in your own journey. Something a lot of parents have said to me over the years is I've had women reach out and say, "I wish that I felt about my child the way that you feel about August." Like when August came along, you know, the second he's in our life, it's just like magic, 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 magic. And like have women feeling regret that they mourned and mourned and mourned. And so, and there's no shame for that either. That's their journey. But also, like, I'll tell new moms, like, just as much as you can, enjoy your baby, because it's a baby. Like, you have a baby, and love that baby, and hold your baby, and feed your baby, change your baby's diaper, you know, and look at your baby and feel love toward your baby. But it's just such a, everyone has to do it on their own, you know, everyone has their own journey. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, friends. So then you have this magical little guy, and you want to make sure that women who were in the position that you were in have someone to talk to. And so you start this social media channel. Take us on that journey towards Happiness is Down Syndrome.
Yeah. So it was definitely a process, because I woke up one night, I remember it was like October 12th. And I woke up one night and I was singing this song from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is one of my favorite musicals. And it's just, "Happiness is finding a pencil," which is really simple, simple joys. And I couldn't get it out of my head. And finally, I realized, that's Jed. That's Jed. This song is about Jed. Like, it's the simple joys, the simple pleasures that we don't talk about much. Like, it's really great to like lick an ice cream cone, or like simple things that kids find so joyous that we just kind of like gloss over as adults, as jaded, cynical adults. And I said, "That's Jed." And so I just had this vision of like a bunch of moms like me with their babies doing simple things with joys, living life, like just living life, feeding the ducks and taking a walk and getting a snack and all these things. And I said, "I want to make a video, and I want, because shortly after I got my diagnosis, I did what most moms do, which is Google, which is like the worst thing you can do because mm-hmm. it's just like all the dark. Mm-hmm. It's like everything that could ever happen to anyone. And can you imagine if we went on and anytime we got pregnant and said, what are all the terrible things that could happen to my child?
Right.
I mean, no one would ever have kids, but that's what happens to moms in our situation. So I said, I want to make a video where even if it's like 80,000th on the list, that someone will find it and see some of the joy of happiness. So I raised some money and I found a producer and I found a cinematographer, and we made this video with like 12 moms and their babies. And they were all moms in my stage of life, because that's all I know, right? And so I wanted to show what I know right now. So it was a bunch of us with our 4-month-old babies, and they all took videos on their own, and then we got someone to like edit it all together, and a bunch of us sang on it, and sort of a marketing guru said, you need to have a page. You need to have a page where people go to if they stumble upon this video. They need to have somewhere to go. So that's how Happiness is Down Syndrome was born. I started an Instagram page. I don't have background in social media. All I knew was I had a Facebook page and I had an Instagram page, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just tell some stories on Happiness is Down Syndrome. It started with the moms in the video, and then slowly people started showing up and reading stories and sharing their own stories. And what I saw time after time after time was that their story was my story and my story was their story. And the differences were there, but we were the same. And the conclusion was always the same, was just because it's hard doesn't equal bad, and good doesn't easy doesn't equal good. Our journeys are very vast and nuanced. And so started to see that in the stories, and had so many women come along the way with me with writing topics and people to help me with reels. And I learned that whole beast, and just wanted to reach as many people as we could, and I've been pretty blown away by I just talked to a mom, and you know, there's moms all over the world that that have no one and have nothing. They have no resources for Down syndrome, and they have no connection the way that we are so blessed to have in the States. And they find happiness, and they say that changed me. Like I feel like I have connection now. And that's when I realized the power of social media.
Mm-hmm. And you started all of this like in the middle of COVID, right? I mean, this is like fall of 2020. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I think there was that's a really good point, because I think there was a real need for connection at that point, because things weren't meeting.
Yeah.
The local groups weren't meeting. Buddy walks weren't happening. All those things that I don't really know, because I came into it during the pandemic, they went away. And so I think there were moms like me who were new to it, who needed connection, but there were also moms who'd been around for a while that were like, my lifeline is kind of taken away from me right now. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I can go on a page and I can be in a chat and I can read a story and I can see other cute babies and I can see stories of adults. And I really do think it was a timing thing in many ways. That's a really good point.
Yeah. There were moms at this retreat we just had, there were 6 or 7 who had maybe 5 who had kids under 1. There was a mom who came whose son is 3 months old, with Down syndrome, and the moms whose kids are around 2, like between 1 and 2, and you know, who are really like more like 1.5, who were going to doctor's appointments without their partner, you know, like going through the whole thing and telling these stories of being alone in a room without anybody. And then every doctor's appointment, no one can go with them. And just like the trauma of that this little chunk of moms or parents in our community went through, and the isolation that creates, it's really heavy and not resolved, you know, like what that means today and what that means moving forward in their journey. And that sat really heavy with me. Like, wow, that community piece we all know is so important and invaluable. And so look what you did, Misty.
I get emotional just hearing about what you said, because I do think that there I think there are things that we don't even realize have impacted us, the 2020 moms, the 2021 moms, and the 2022 moms. It's still hard. Like, there's hard things, but not going to these appointments where you don't know what you're going to hear and you don't have a support system is very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
And I do want to emphasize that community is important, but there is no shame in getting someone to getting a professional to process those things through.
Absolutely.
And I got it. And I don't know what I would have done without it. Mm-hmm. It's my nature to try and help when I need help, if that makes sense. Like, I give what I need. And so happiness is a very selfish endeavor in the sense that I need what I'm putting out there.
Yeah.
I see a need and I want to fill it. But then there's moments where I'm like, Misty, you gotta ask for help too.
That's such a good word. Such a good word. How have you seen it grow over the last couple of years? What have been some surprising changes or things that you've intentionally maybe been like, this need, I'd like to try this differently or shift it around?
I feel like the biggest reason it's succeeded is because it's a community. Mm-hmm. It truly is a bunch of people who come to me behind the scenes and who are like, I'm going through this and I feel like nobody sees me. Do you know anyone who's going through this? And I might not. And I put out a little thing. Is anyone going through blah, blah, blah? Somebody says, yes, I connect them. Then four more people come on. Mm-hmm. Then five more people come on. And so when you have community helping community, literally you're raising up community from what you need, like I just said, it blows your mind. My son had Jed had infantile spasms at 6 months, and they're very rare. And I thought, there is no one who's going to know what this is like. This is so terrifying. And this one woman reached out to me and said, my son just went through this. He's almost done with the medication. You're going to get through this. I'm here for you. And she was there for me. And we started this tiny chat, two people. And then one other woman, I read a post and I said, come be in our chat, three people. And then she told someone, four people. And now we have like 16 people in the infantile spasm group that are like helping each other. And that's such a powerful thing. So I would say kind of how it's grown so much by people saying, I need this. And then it just expands and grows. And I do make it a point. I work hard to say everyone is welcome here. Mm. Everyone is welcome here. No matter where you stand, if you're not happy about this Down syndrome thing, it's okay. You're welcome here. Mm-hmm. If you're a grandma who doesn't know how to help your daughter who just had a child with Down syndrome, you're welcome here. If you're somebody who is an ally of our community and wants to learn more, you're welcome here. And I think a lot of the mystique was taken off because I just say, everybody come, let's do this thing. Let's figure it out together, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's way out of my hands. I do a lot of work, but I'm telling you, it is very much a divine thing that is happening.
This is along the lines of the question I wanted to ask you about, for all of us who are trying to do advocacy, what does it mean to be inclusive in our advocacy? And I heard you pointing to that a little bit of everyone's welcome here. What is kind of the guiding values that you hold as you're doing your work online, trying to connect people?
I think, so this goes back to what I was saying with my roots in acting. I think we have this bend towards thinking I'm the only one. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one who has this really dark thought. I am alone. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? There's songs written about it. We as humans think it's just me. Whether we see it or not, we have this like isolating quality. And so I feel like the more we say, no, it's not just you. No, that thought that you feel, it's not the first time it's been felt. Let's talk about it. Let's put it out there. And I really, when people write their stories, I do let them know, like I might edit it for size or I might edit it and I always show them, but ultimately I want them to say what they feel. I want them to say their journey because there's somebody else out there who feels that. And when it, I think true inclusion is saying all the feelings, all the thoughts, all the people, like, come and talk about it. And it, I do think it has helped a lot to say, you know, I'll have people who write to me almost in shame, like, I don't know anyone with Down syndrome, but I follow your page. I'm like, great, that's great, welcome, please, like, come, like, you always say, Heather, that no one loves someone with Down syndrome, like, come and learn and be here and ask questions. We need to have that space where people can ask questions and they're free to do it and they're not going to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What's going on? What's next for Happiness is Down Syndrome?
That's a good question. I ask myself that every day.
It doesn't need to be. It can, the thing is next. It is doing good.
I wake up and I tell the next story. You know, it's not a nonprofit. It's not a business. It's a community. And I think and pray on it a lot. Like, what is this going to be? What is this? What's the big picture? And I don't have all the answers, but I do know that as a creative person, I get inspired kind of as I go. And so I'm living on a prayer of what do you want for this? What's next? And I think I am working on I wrote a song. So after I did Happiness is Finding a Pencil, I realized the roadblocks of using a song that's already written and copyrighted and all of that. So my dad said, write a song, Misty, write a song about Jed and just do it. And I'm not a songwriter, but I wrote a little song and recorded it, and we're going to do another video and it's a little different. But I'm finding ways, I guess, to use the things that I've been gifted in to share the message that I want to share. So that's the next thing right now. We're working on that for the fall.
Fun. And you talked about people finding groups. How do people listening get connected?
So there's several ways. I host a chat on Monday nights. It's free and anonymous through Circles. It's called Circles app. And they have something called Voices. And for free, you can sign on to this chat. It's not video call, and you don't even have to say your name. You can just sign on and you can listen to parents. There's anywhere from 6 to 20 parents every Monday. That's one way to get plugged in. You can reach out to me personally on Happiness is Down Syndrome or Misty Coy Snyder, and I promise you I will personally answer you and connect you. And just say, I'm new on this journey. I'm pregnant. I just had a baby. These are the women that reach out to me the most. I just had a baby. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. I'm pregnant. I'm overwhelmed. And that is my mission. That group of people is my sweet spot of, like, get them plugged in, get them in a group. And so I have community. I have little chats on Happiness. Happy to connect you in any way that I can.
Chats like through Instagram DMs. Is that what you mean? Okay. Very cool.
Yep.
Love it.
And you can find it on Facebook too.
I love it. I love hearing your story. I haven't heard your whole story. And that tie from that you started with about when being in acting, and you even brought that, like, I feel that thread went all the way through of just being known and seen and wanting to be known and seen. I've never heard that before. That's really beautiful. Really interesting. I love what you're doing, girl. I think it's so needed, and you're like, I was just going to say joy and positivity, which feels cliche, but it's just the truth. It's just infectious. You're the lens in which you're stepping into this work. It's really important. And I'm grateful for what you're doing.
Just as we're praising you, Misty.
Yes. It's your affirmation circle.
I think what is so special about what you're doing is that it's really easy for us to jump into socials and just share our own story, which is a beautiful thing to share your own story. Mm-hmm. But you immediately, when you started this was a space for people to share their stories, and you are the facilitator. You're the one who's just passing the mic. And I love that community you've created by allowing people to tell their own stories. And I just want to say how much how important that is and how much we appreciate the work you're doing.
Thank you. I need to complete the circle of praise because the work that you are doing, Heather, when you guys came for the weekend, several of the women just said, I can't believe that we get to do this with Heather and her family. Like, this is such a gift. And I think the moms who've come later, like me, we see all the groundwork that has been laid before us. And it's really humbling. It's really, really humbling to be like, I couldn't even think of doing what I'm doing right now without the Heathers and the Micahs and I talked to a mom who has a son who's 50, and I'm just like, I don't even know what to say to you. Thank you. You know, like that. So I would just like to encourage you and the work that you're doing in this podcast and all the many, 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 many wonderful things you're doing for moms like me. And I also want to encourage the mom who's listening, who has hopes and dreams and things they want to do too, and empower them. Do it. Do it. Don't say, oh, there's already a voice doing that. Like, be a voice. Do it where you are.
Yeah. I love that. Thanks, girl. New Jersey was so fun. Rachel, our friend we were talking about earlier, who lives in New Jersey and came to Lucky Mamas. And then she also is a part of that. She said that like a lot of you guys are like a little text thread of the moms who are talking. You're a part of that. As I mentioned that, I'm like, I hope Misty's in that text thread.
Yes, I'm in it.
Awesome. I love that. It's so sweet. So good. I figured you are. So
yeah.
That community. Yeah. Once we find each other, it's just so special, you know?
It really is.
Have to find each other.
Wanted for life.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. So we know we can find you at Happiness is Down Syndrome on Instagram and on Facebook. Anywhere else, any other places, anything else you need our listeners to know? That's what I'm trying to say.
Just my personal page, Misty Coy Snyder, which focuses on my journey with Jed. You can reach out to me there. And that's pretty much it.
Very cool. All right. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back with some good news. Misty, we'd love for you to share some good news about Jed and maybe bring us in with a song. I don't know. We'll find out.
Hey, Micah here. Raise your hand if you're tired, overwhelmed, or if you simply need a little help finding your way into a slower pace. There's a new space where I'm exploring slowness, spiritual practice, and meaning. 15 minutes each week where all of us frantic ones can practice slowing down, learning to receive the goodness in front of us, and expanding our spiritual eyes to see what God just might already be up to inside all of us. Find the Slow Way podcast, hosted by me, every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Do we want a narrative song? Like, down in the woods by a stream, I saw dear Misty coming. I don't know if it's gonna work.
I mean, pick it up there, Misty. I think this is it. This is actually happening.
You gotta bring it to good news, though.
I walked down the road and I saw some friends. Skip stones together in a stream, and I whispered to them, have you heard? Have you heard?
Good.
Are you going, Heather? Good.
Yes. Have you heard? Have you heard the good news that's coming to you?
Yes.
Woo! That was amazing. We either just gained a ton of listeners or we just lost a handful, but I think mostly that was incredible. Okay. Good news, friends. Good news. I'm going to go first because I have something in my head.
Awesome.
Mason, August, and Truly are all doing a theater class. If you follow along on our little family page, August did this theater class last spring and it was amazing. And so now the whole family's doing it. And the first day they go around and they were saying, what's your favorite, like your name and your favorite musical? And it's like, okay, I don't know if Mason is like, when it gets to be her turn, there's a lot of ways it could go. And part of me is like, I'm sitting back where the parents are, like, I wish I could just walk up to her and like, let's practice saying this together, you know? And when it got to her turn, she stood up and she said, my name is Mason and my favorite musical is Wicked. And not one person had said Wicked yet. And I was like, girlfriend understood the assignment. And it just was, oh, I was just beaming. It was so good. So good. That's my good news.
Also, that's, she has really good taste.
Yes, I know. I didn't, people were saying different musicals that she knows well. And I was just like, I love that she was thinking it through the whole time, mm-hmm. you know, like in her head, like she was trying to figure out, it wasn't what everyone else was saying. It was Wicked. Yeah. All right, Misty, do you have some good news, my dear?
Yeah. You know, I always have this balancing act of, I love to celebrate the victories or the inch stones, but I also don't love to celebrate the inch stones because it's just not like why Jed rocks. Like, yeah. That's not what I like to focus on. But yesterday we were at the beach and he was on the sand and he's getting his SMOs today to hopefully help him walk. But we were on the sand. It was like the hard packed sand. And he was walking like he started to walk like a crab, which he hasn't done, on all fours. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden he just like lifted up, like planted there. And it's the first time he's done it. And it was on the sand, like the slanted sand. And I was like, go you. What? That's amazing. I don't even know if I could do that. Way to go. And so it was just really exciting. And he got excited for himself. And it's just those sweet moments that you're not expecting. It was one of those.
I love that. Oh, that's so good. Wonderful. So good.
I have a good news from one of our listeners. This is Karis R. Jones. And they say, I gave birth to identical boys with Down syndrome in February. One of our sons spent 73 days in the NICU with little problems. His brother had a lot more issues and stayed 2 months longer. Wow. But last week we got to bring him home after 135 days in the NICU. We can't wait to finally begin this journey of life with our boys together.
Mm. Wow. That brings me to tears. Oh my gosh.
So amazing.
Guys, that's the good news mic drop. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. Yes. How do we see you? Where do you live? Can we just come over? Like, how do we be a part of your life? What coast are you on?
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. And I want to know these boys' names. There's so many follow-up questions to this one. Okay, Karis R. Jones. Will you answer all those questions,
please? Yes, tell us all the answers.
Yes, and we are just celebrating huge with you. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Amazing. Yes. All right, friends. Well, if you have good news to share, we'd love to hear it. And you can share that over at the Lucky Few Pod on Instagram. You can email us hello@luckyfewpodcast.com. And we love hearing from you. Misty, thank you for being on the show. Thanks for taking the time. For sharing your heart, for sharing your story, for doing the work that you do, and just being such goodness and light in this world. You are a dear, Misty. Thank you.
Thank you.
I adore you. Oh, adore you. And you guys might get to have coffee this week or something. Good for you.
Yeah.
I am happy for you guys for being close to each other. Okay, and thanks to Josh Avis for editing the episode and Val Schleter for producing it, and to our intern Ashley for managing all of our social media at the Lucky Few Pod. Make sure you're following us there if you aren't already.
Yep, and if you haven't subscribed yet, that's a good thing to do. Just click that little button. And if you like this episode, you can share it with your family and friends. Especially would love for you to share about the work that Misty's doing with Happiness is Down Syndrome. And let's see what else. Make sure you check out the luckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things we talked about today.
And again, follow us on the Lucky Few Pod on social media. And hey, Misty, Micah, and all the listeners, Karis, is that our friend that left? Yeah, Karis R. Jones. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you're slaying it. We love you so much, and we're here cheering you on always. Can't wait to be together on another episode next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ha 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 ha